going on. Boy, I don't know if you guys listen to Michael Savage. If you listened to him yesterday, he's singing the same song. See, he said what we're seeing, he's calling them the Eddies. And by the Eddies, he's talking about our dads. And our dads at age 18 and 19 years old, how they left their home and went over and fought the great war against the great Satan. And now his children, Eddie's children, are rising up. They've had enough of it. They're rising up and they're pushing back like never before. And that their Hillary internal polls, I heard a guy say yesterday that they have know this, that internal polls, Trump is up 17 on internal polls. And they don't want us to know that, but he's up 17, and that his support among white, non-college educated men. See, they want us to sound stupid, right? But a non-college educated man means a guy who hasn't been indoctrinated by all the filth in the colleges. His support and that group rose in the last 3 weeks, rose from 46% to 70%, that the Eddies are coming home. That the Eddies, they're shirking off all of the union and all that stuff that's held these guys down. They now understand what's going on. And the way that is rolling is beyond what we can even understand. So we are really in dangerous times right now because they know it, man. The other side knows it. And they've done everything they can do and haven't been able to stop that train at all. The only place they've had success is with silly women laden with lust, the Christian women, who are offended by his treatment of other women. That's about the only place that they're scoring any points. And the young people, which young people are stupid anyway, we know that. So there's some good news. Hey, Big Rich, while I got you there, I dropped that letter on Zach yesterday. I sent the information that you sent regarding the counselor. So, waiting for a pushback. I thought he'd come by last night, and he didn't. I probably won't see him tonight because we're leaving. So we'll be getting after it the first of the week here. So appreciate that. We're moving forward. And in the last 2 days, and I could probably go right down this list, I've received emails from three different men who are heartsick over wayward sons. Isn't that something? Heartsick over it. Sons who were raised in the church. And that are wayward. And so it made me feel like, God, my problems are nothing when I read what some of these other guys are dealing with. Jeezy. The devil's after the seed. He's after the seed. And we've given it to him because we've put him in the government indoctrination centers and they've become little Romans. That's what's happened to us. The inability of the church to be relevant in the culture and in the lives, it's awful. It's awful. Lord, we just thank you again for this day. Not making another one of them. What is it? It's the 28th, Lord, of October. Just anoint us today. That your word would flow through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Good to see all of you today. Did Roger make it in? I've been warning him he's going to have to get up earlier.
He was here. He
was on earlier, but he must have dropped off.
Well, shame on him. As long as the streaming's gone, we've had trouble with that the last couple of days. They haven't been listening to it. They want to listen to it, but they can't get in. And I know Jared's working hard on that, trying to make that thing work.
Hey, I want to tell you also, Coach, and everyone else, WBCQ. It's a little AM station right out of Monticello, Maine, which is about 30 miles down the road from me. He is a shortwave worldwide system. So we're going to get one of the huddle shows on there this Saturday and experiment and see how this works out. But if this thing works out, we're hoping to get a slot, you know, one show a week at least that we can put on. It'll be on a shortwave, which means it'll be available worldwide through shortwave.
Cool. We need to begin to start looking for some of these little venues for even get JR's show on there. There's as much truth as we can get out. Yep. The better it's going to be. We have to create alternative. And you know, my heart still continues to break here in Columbus, Ohio, that they won't sell us any regular radio time. Our enemies are those of our own household, sadly. Sarah, I'm going to say something bad. Hang on. Hold your ears, Sarah. We're kicking the never Trumpers' ass. I just want you to know that we are kicking their asses. They're running out of excuses. They're running out of positions. Now all they can do is say, "Well, you're going to hell." That's about what it's come down to now. Chad said, "Greetings to everybody." Listen, we need to do this. Got a minute left. We need to talk. We need to talk to each other. We have some brothers out there who are starving. You know what I'm saying? We need to get a set of phone numbers out.
For pass the salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I don't know where this week is going. Friday. Full Friday, been a full week, baby. Full week, a lot of stuff going on. We got a full queue here this morning. I know some of you have been concerned out there. I hear from you in regards to our streaming and the phone. I don't know if it's working now. I pray that it's been working. It's been really, really choppy and really cutting out on us all this week. And Jared, our webmaster, is doing everything he can to try to get everything up and running. If you can't get in the queue, which is the obvious, many of you can't get in here today, you can call us on the phone. We think we probably have that streaming now on the Global Star Radio Network. That's 605-475-0017. I'll give that to you again. 605-475-0017. YouTube, all of it's going on. We got the communication going on up and down the side. I wish we could figure out a way that we could help more of you become involved with it. We have the phone number there that is above Larry's head that you can call, and we can screen a call and we can put you on there. 843-957-8180. 843-957-8180 if you want to jump in here. We would love it because we really believe this. I had a conversation with a guy yesterday. He said, "Listen, you don't have to agree with me. The idea of the pass assault is not for you to be in agreement with me. Please understand that. I believe what the scripture tells us, that in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. And that what I like about this queue and the way this program runs is it's just not me. It's just not me telling you what it's not talent on loan from God. Me sitting here for 3 hours and telling you what I think. Although I do tell you a lot of what I think. You don't have to agree with it. Search the scriptures daily to see if what we're telling you is the truth. And I know that we're having an impact. I get emails from guys that said, you know, I did this and I did this. I heard from the guy, remember I told you yesterday, maybe it was off the air, Chris, who finally got a meeting with his pastor. And we prayed for him that the meeting would be successful. And the meeting was very, very successful, and that he now knows where his pastor stands, and his pastor doesn't want anything to do with it, of course. So I think that's a successful meeting, isn't it? That's a successful meeting. So that kind of stuff's going on all around the world. And I got some stuff to share with you today. Donald Trump has done this for us. He's taught us to fight back. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Donald Trump has made it okay to fight back again. If he hasn't done anything else, he's made it okay to fight back. And in my opinion, that's the first step to trying to recover this thing. But I'm going to tell you, there's a beast. The devil is behind all of it. The devil is a beast. And all we have to do is look at this. Just look at our federal government, or look at your local government or your local police. Just look around and you're going to see very clearly that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where the Spirit of the Lord is not, there is tyranny. Or what's the word I'm looking for? Not tyranny, but prison. Captivity. You have no liberty where the Spirit of the Lord isn't. And so we look at our government, all branches of our government, we've eliminated God. So therefore we have man-made laws being enforced by men. Unrighteous men get into positions of power. I'm in 1 Timothy, by the way. I might as well read that. I wasn't gonna read it quite yet. Let's jump in there real quick. Sorry, Roger's not with us, but I'm sure he's listening upon it. His attorney, he needs to listen. He needs to listen. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 2. Actually, let's start in 1 Timothy 1, Jared. 1 Timothy 1. I don't know if you saw it, the Ammon trial out in Oregon, basically the jury said, screw the government. I mean, that's basically it. That was what the jury said. The jury listened to all the evidence. And if you would follow that case, you would find out that they had at least 18 or 19 federal agents embedded in that whole Bundy thing. Is that right, Larry? 18 or 19 FBI agents, CIA agents that were embedded in that whole demonstration out there. And in fact, some of the CIA, I'm sorry, FBI and DHS, some of those agents were the provocateurs. They were the ones who were trying to come up with plans that would get these guys in trouble. How wicked is that? How wicked is that? They were setting up the Bundys to break the law so they could arrest them. Embedded spies. It is. This story's so wicked. And those guys have been in jail since January. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. 10 months in jail for something they did not do. One of them is dead for something they did not do. And the average person couldn't care less. Couldn't care less. We are in an unbelievable time in which we live. It matters to me. Steve, good to see you. It matters to me. It matters to me. And unfortunately for a lot of us, including this guy right here looking at you, I'm a lot of talk and not much action. Those Bundy guys went and they were in that prison for 10 months. Think what would happen in your life if you were locked up for 10 months. Think what would happen to the bills that you're supposed to go out and pay, earn money. Think what would happen in relationships with your children. Think of what would happen. Just think about it. Think about your wife being without you for 10 months. Think about it. Not guilty. And they still won't let two of them go. Still won't let two of them go. And arrested their attorney because he said, let them go. Let them go. They were found not guilty. And then they came and handcuffed and shackled the two Bundy boys and took them into custody for a crime supposedly that happened in Nevada that they haven't been charged with yet. Larry, am I telling the truth here, brother? Am I telling the truth?
Well, the facts are close. Now, there have been charges put forward in the Nevada thing from back 213 Bunkerville incident down at the Bundy Ranch. However, there was no arrest warrant in the courtroom. There was no arrest warrant to be served at the time that the not guilty verdict was read. And this is what his lawyer brought forth to the court's attention. And they tasered the lawyer before they put the lawyer in handcuffs and shackles.
What a country.
That's our American government dealing with American citizens. If you people out there aren't blood red, boiling mad, you deserve what you get.
Remember this, when Dr. Ken Hovind was released in federal court in Pensacola, Florida, it was the first time that the prosecution, the government, had lost in that courtroom in 9 years. You hear what I'm telling you? That ain't justice, man. That ain't justice. Ken Hovind would have been sentenced had they had their way. They trumped up charges on him, did everything they could to keep him in jail, but a move of God got him out. Same things happened in the Bundys. Exact same things happened. They were found not guilty. They put the jury. See, you can't find a lawyer that will fight for you because they are part of the evil system. When they become bar attorneys, they swear an oath to the bar. They swear an oath to this unrighteous, ungodly legal system. And so what happened to the lawyer? He stood up and bucked the system. You don't do that, baby. You don't do that. You don't do that. I'm in. By the way, you want to jump in here, 843-957-8180. This is real live radio. I got a text. See who that one's from. I'll get back to it in a minute. I'm in 1 Timothy. Did I say that? I think I did. I hate my phone. It never goes to where it's supposed to go. There it goes. Roger said he started on the queue, then bumped off. And now he can't call in. are we streaming, Michelle? She didn't answer. I'm in 1 Timothy. Is that what I said?
Roger, my line is open.
Hey, yeah, Roger, you can call the 84. I don't even know if he can hear us. Started off on the queue, then got bumped off, and now can't call in. So he's chomping at his bits. And we're talking about lawyers. Anybody got something else they want to say about a lawyer while Roger's gone? Be a good time. I probably shouldn't be telling everybody that he's a lawyer because might get him in trouble with the bar. I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 4. This will be our scripture for today. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment, oh, I can read up here. I'm sorry, Jared, I don't want to look down. I'm sorry, thank you guys. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having served, have turned aside into vain jangling. I like that. Vain jangling. A lot of vain jangling going on, isn't there? Huh? Arguing about stuff that's not even godly, not even righteous. Vain jangling. Desiring to be teachers of the law. Say that again. They're desiring to be teachers of the law. Understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good. Hey, guys, listen to this. We know that the law is good if it is used lawfully. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where the spirit of the devil is, or where the Spirit of the Lord is not, there is tyranny. Knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous man. Uh-uh. Oh, my goodness. I lost it. Thanks, Jared. No, verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners and for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. But who, meaning talking about himself, I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ. Amen. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We'll say that again, whom he is chief. Howbeit for this call I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which are sent on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith in a good conscience, which some have put away. They put away their conscience. And that put away concerning faith have made, gone shipwrecked. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Okay, Jared, let's keep right on going, because I want to just do the first part of 2, and then we're going to move here. Chapter 2. After Timmy talks about all this stuff, or Paul does, telling Timothy, I exhort you therefore, Jared and George. I exhort you there, Mike. Welcome, Mike and JR and Sarah and Steve. I exhort you that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior. But what happens, fellas, when our leadership isn't godly? Are we still to continue to praise them, praise their wicked works? For who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That's why I've been ordained to preach an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. the teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity, and I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, yada, 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 yada. And see, we're in the mess we're in because those of us who claim the name of Christ won't do what he said there, see. We will not exhort and push forth the true gospel of Jesus Christ and demand men come to salvation and demand our leaders be godly leaders, demand our men turn from their wicked ways, and that when our leaders are wicked, we got to do something about it. But we've been complying. We sit back. We allow this stuff to go on around us. Every problem in America today is the church. Every stinking problem is the church. We'll say it again. Every problem is the church. Oh, tell me all the good things they do. Tell me all the people that are getting saved. Tell me all this stuff that's going on in the churches. Tell me about all the programs you have in your Sunday school classes. Tell me about all that stuff. And then explain to me, if you're doing such a good job, why is the world going to hell so bad? I'm sorry. No, I'm not. You know how you know when a team's doing good? You know how you know when they're being coached good? You watch at the performance. Look at what's going on around you. Well, look at our performance. Name of God's not even able to be mentioned. Boy, Jared, I don't know if you can find this real quick. This just popped into my head. I want you to see something. Look, Jared, real quick. Google Donald Trump. Where would that be? Doggone it. Donald Trump in Springfield, Ohio yesterday, just down the road. I saw a short 30-second clip today. I'm not going to show it to you until I see if Jared can find it. Of Donald Trump standing at the podium, I want to show you something I have never seen in all my days in politics. Oh, Jared, you got it. I love Jared. I love Jared. Okay, now let me see where it is, Jared, because I don't want you to hear what Trump said. I want you to see what I saw. Now, wait, Jared, go down, Jared, all the way down here to the bottom, right? Next one, Jared, the other way. Come back. There, right there. Hey, guys, listen. You got to know this, that they picked the people in the picture. The people that you see in the picture aren't there by accident. They aren't there by accident. Look, standing behind Trump, what you see. Point at it, Jared. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Would George Bush allow that to be there? Would Romney have allowed that to be there? You think that lady just snuck in there? Do you think that? Boy, that's a subliminal message if I've ever seen it. You say, oh, yeah, well, Coach, he's just doing that because he's trying to fool those evangelicals. Is that right? Well, I'm fooled. You guys think I'm crazy? You ever seen that before? Sarge, you ever seen that before? JR, you ever seen that before? And any president standing behind any president ever seen that? I didn't think so. Praise the Lord. Boy, I said, Coach, you're fired up. Damn right I am. We're at war. Most of us don't even realize we're at war. And can I tell you what's even worse? We're warring against our own friends. We're warring against those who are supposed to be on our team. There's no unity in our team at all. Self-righteous, holier than thou, judgmental, dare I say that word? Judgmental Christians. Unbelievable what's going on.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Larry.
You know how you know that the coach and the team is performing well?
What's that, brother?
You look at the scoreboard.
look at the scoreboard. Hey, Larry, it's even worse than that. We look at the scoreboard and we see that we're probably going to appoint 4 new judges, and we got self-righteous Christians who won't allow Trump to appoint pro-life judges because he once had sex with a woman that wasn't his wife, and he once said mean things to women. And so we're going to see that the next 40 years for your grandchildren is going to be set after this election, and we got self-righteous Christians who will not vote for a man who's told us that he's going to appoint pro-life judges. Huh? You tell me who's the real enemy here. You tell me who's the real enemy. I'm so up to my ears with these guys, with these never Trumpers. No matter what evidence you present to them, it ain't good enough. Oh, they're saved from their sins. But this guy could never be saved from his, right? It says right here, pray for him, doesn't it? Does it say Does it say to speak evil things against him? It says pray for those in authority. Pray for those in authority. Well, pray for Hillary if you want to. Go ahead. You guys have the faith out there to believe that this man could be saved? Do you have the faith out there to believe this man could go undergo a heart change? Do you have the faith to believe out there that this man might be an agent of God or could become an agent of God? Do you have any faith at all that Hillary would make the same move? The worm's turning in America. The worm is turning in America. Got something to show you here. I haven't seen this before. Anybody want to say anything?
Yeah, Coach, it's kind of interesting how people could look the same way at Paul and even Ananias, who got the vision from God about what he was supposed to do, was like, are you sure? Are you sure about that, God?
Right.
Is that the guy who and I need to go over and pray for and touch him and anoint him? Is he the one that you're going to use? And it's in even starker contrast. It's so many orders of magnitude more severe than the situation we're facing. You know, if we really understood and knew the power and the redeeming power of God for our lives and for everyone else's lives, we might have a completely different perspective. But it spells it all there in black and white in the Bible, particularly in Paul's story.
See, again, in this situation before us right now, we can't recognize the difference between, I say, the carnal and the demonic. They're not the same. They're not the same. And to think Christians don't have the ability to discern this, they can't see this. I got in an argument yesterday, JR, with some guy, another one of those never Trumpers, not an argument, a Facebook argument. He says, I'm never going to vote for a man that would kill not one baby. I've heard that one before. I've heard that one before. And I said, well, let me ask you something. You sure don't seem to have much trouble gambling somebody else's life. He says, what do you mean? I said, well, there's millions of babies that are counting on you right now to save them. You have the ability right now to save them. They're not even conceived yet. But you have the ability to throw that wicked woman out there and give a chance to overturn the laws, and you won't even do that. See, you are more concerned about your righteous vote than the future of some unborn baby. And I wonder right now, if you were to go into the future and you were to ask 10 million babies who get saved because abortion is legal as overturned, you go to them, those 10 million that get saved, and say, hey, listen, we could have done this sooner, but I was worried about those 500 who got killed because of exceptions. Would those 10 million babies look at you and say, what is wrong with you? You mean you could have saved 10 million of us and you wouldn't do it because you couldn't save everybody? I asked my buddy Chad Estes, he's a cop. You pull up on a wreck, and he's done it. Pull up a wreck out there when you're driving on the highways of the state that you're in, and there's a accident, and the car's on fire, and you have the opportunity to pull one of those people out of the fire. Do you say, nope, can't save them all. Can't save them all. I'm not going to save any of them. That myself, folks, that is absolutely unbelievably foolish thinking. And we are in a position right now where babies are already being killed. It's not like we're trying to stop them. We're trying to overturn it. We're trying to overturn it. We're trying to rescue them. They say, oh, no, I can't vote for him. He's for rape victims being killed. Oh, my goodness.
Coach?
Yep.
A while ago, you talked about we just read in the Word, pray for those in authority.
Right.
Hey, guess what, people? There's a difference in praying about those in authority and praying for those in authority. Think about it.
Larry, I am going to think about it. Now, somebody listen to me. Here's what we're going to do. Come next week, we're going to pick, all of us here, we're going to pick out a day of fasting. And everybody on this queue is going, we're going to selectively pick a day of fasting, and we're all going to pray. We're all going to fast and pray. I'm thinking that we're going to do it on Tuesday. I just got that in my head, but I want to try to spread that as much as we can, that those of us on this queue will specifically fast for. We'll talk on next week about what we're going to fast specifically for, what we're going to pray specifically for, because you have to have a target. But we're in a mess, man. We're a week out. Okay. Anybody want to jump in here? Hey, JR, before I forget, 10 o'clock tomorrow, what do you got going on tomorrow? 10 o'clock.
Well, it's interesting what you're talking about today. We're having a Saturday morning. We're having a pastor roundtable, and we're going to have Marine veteran and pastor Tony McGee from North Carolina, Pastor Josiah Martin from Worcester, Ohio, Pastor and author Carl Gallups from Florida, and Pastor Dr. Kevin Baird from Legacy Church in Charleston, South Carolina. And you're noting this election has really divided the church.
Amen.
It's really divided. There's righteous high ground on both sides. It's incredible. Neither side is budging, and in many cases, fueled by the heat of the battle, the divide is now becoming cauterized. So what's the church to do? What will it become? And that's the question. And I'm going to ask the pastors what we should be doing now. You mentioned fasting. That's a good thing. And November 8th. And after. So we're really looking forward to it. We're excited about it.
Tomorrow, amen. Amen. All right, JR, thanks. Okay, listen, I've got a couple clips I want to show you here. Two things. JR, let's get the first one up there. It says Clinton News Network fighting back. This is a short clip. Some lady on, I don't know her, probably should. She's a journalist, maybe on RT. I'm not sure what network she's with. I want you to watch her go in here. See, here's what I want you to see. Don't get caught up so much in the dialogue. Don't get caught up on that. I want you to see how since Donald Trump has come on the scene, people ain't taking crap anymore. This is Britain's new columnist, Kate Hopkins. Listen to how she takes this wicked woman on. It's about 5 minutes. Go ahead and play it, Jared. We're fighting back. We're starting to fight back.
Trump will win. DailyMail.com columnist Katie Hopkins joins me now. You think he's going to win?
I think he's going to win. I think you guys are in for a big surprise, which I'm quite excited about. I think we've seen a very similar thing here in the UK with Brexit. We saw a lot of the liberal press kind of sneering at Brexiteers. We saw a lot of the sneering that we see from the Clinton News Network.
And I think it's something
we can see. That's CNN. You're calling us the Clinton News Network.
That's exactly correct.
And why? Why do you call us the Clinton News Network?
Because
when we prominently featured a Florida poll that showed Donald Trump had a couple of points.
And earlier on this evening on Twitter, you were telling me, Hillary Clinton has a 12-point lead. And now you're having to look at Florida polls showing a 2-point lead.
But those are two different.
Very hard for you.
Though entirely different things. One is a national poll that showed she had. One poll that showed she had a 12-point lead. Others show a 9-point lead. Nationally, she's been ahead for
weeks. I think we're all very bored of the polls. I think none of us need to take any notice of them whatsoever. We learned that in the UK with Brexit. We learned it indeed with our general election. What I will say, having sat in the Republican convention in Cleveland and watched your news network, it is entirely biased, I think, in coverage. And I think Trump's doing a great job. And I think what we saw today from him opening the hotel was a super
thing.
Because
you keep making these accusations, and quite frankly, you cannot back them up.
Because you just said, I'll just give you an example.
You just cannot back them up. Not in airtime, not in how often
we... I will give you an example straight off the bat of what you just said. No, I won't let you finish because I want to answer your question.
No, no,
you said I can't back them up.
You can't go ahead and back them up.
Cat fight.
Because I've worked here 18 years, and I can tell you there is nothing but balance.
So you were just saying how Trump really struggles with women. Yeah. You guys seem to love to present us women, and I am vaguely a woman, as victims. Mm-hmm. I don't see myself as a victim. Many women, hardworking women, don't see themselves as victims. And we could also look at other polls that say 70% of individuals find Clinton to be utterly distasteful. I find her abhorrent to look at. Her little smile there does nothing for me. So,
but
as
Katie Hopkins, nobody's saying
like
everybody loves Hillary Clinton.
Well,
far
I think you
it.
Just did. Women,
absolutely
you said
not.
Women love Hillary. Women do not love Hillary Clinton.
I never
Clinton.
Said that. You're
okay,
literally
you
misquoting me.
Tell me your quote.
I gave you a poll where she had a 12-point advantage over
another
Donald
CNN
Trump with
poll.
The female.
They really are meaningless. Move on from polls. I'm bored
this
of your
This girl's
polls.
Getting her pants pulled down.
You just quoted something I said that was completely factually incorrect.
Tell me the correct quote.
That women love Hillary Clinton?
Oh, wrong word there. Clinton.
When did I say
you
that?
Love Clinton, remember, not Trump.
This conversation is actually going completely off the rails because it seems like we've just entered a post-fact world where no matter what we say to you,
we are.
You will actually deny facts and then fabricate quotes and put them in my mouth.
I think where we now sit in politics is in a world of post-truth politics where we surround ourselves with the truth that we want to hear. People enter an echo chamber and hear the stuff they said back to them that they want to hear, which is why people that support Clinton listen to you and why people that support Trump might listen to me or Fox, for example. Anyway, do ask me some questions you want to ask.
Sure, let's talk about Brexit first let me ask you about your support for Donald Trump.
Here
what
we go.
What is it about the things that he says? Why do you support Donald Trump? Because you're sitting here in Britain. Of course, you were pro-Brexit and all those things, and you have said some absolutely vicious and disgusting things about immigrants.
Very unbiased, right?
You called them cockroaches. You've said they were feral. You've said suicidal inmates should just go ahead and kill themselves.
I think we should turn
people
back
with
the vote.
Dementia are blocking beds.
True.
So absolutely disgusting things.
In your opinion, is it's disgusting? In my opinion,
well,
I speak the
anybody,
truth.
Anybody who calls a human being a cockroach,
I don't think you speak for everybody, darling.
Says something.
Move along with your
disgusting
question.
Disgusting, and many people. why do you support Donald Trump?
Because for me, as a small business owner, he really speaks to me and the people like me that work hard for a living. He gets things done. I think we've just seen Obamacare. It crucifies small business owners. You're going to get more of that with Hillary Clinton. You're not going to get that with Trump. And I think that's very important. He also gets stuff done. What we've seen with Clinton, essentially, she's just the wife of an ex-president. She was there supporting her husband whilst he was in the Oval Office with Monica Lewinsky on her knees next to him.
Okay, well,
that's not the strong woman I need. You're going to cut me off because
I said
that.
Not at all. You just said she's someone's wife when she was Secretary of State.
She was someone's wife, and he had affairs in the Oval Office, and she stood by him. That is not a strong woman for me, honey.
But if you call me honey, that is just very condescending.
Okay,
no,
what would you like me to call you?
Extremely rude. All right, well, let's get this back on track. Brexit. Why do you support Brexit? Keeping migrants out of Britain, was that the main reason?
No, not immigration is the main reason. I'm a big fan. I was in the British Army. I'm a big fan of the British forces. It's another reason why I support Trump, actually, because I think he will stand up for our service personnel. And actually, for Brexit, it was about taking back control, taking back sovereignty. Mm-hmm. And our state broadcaster actually was very biased in their reporting and coverage of Brexit. They did not believe that Brexit would win. Mm-hmm. They found it very difficult to admit that we won. And I find your coverage to be very similar with Trump.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Katie Hopkins, that was interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? Huh? Isn't it about time we saw people begin to fight back like this? Boy, that girl was so flummoxed. So I want to encourage you, guys, this is going on more and more. Now, can I show you another crack in the armor? Anybody want to say anything before I show you another crack in the armor? Anybody? You know this WikiLeaks, this drip, 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 drip is starting to have an impact. It's starting to have an impact. We are now about 10 days out from the election. People are starting to pay attention for the first time. When the next thing comes from WikiLeaks, people don't even care. You know what they say is, oh, man, just another one. Just another one. This why these people are wicked. These people, that's what's happening right now. Now, I thought I'd never see this. Jared, let's go to, where is it, man? Clinton Foundation on MSNBC. It's the third one down there. This is on the Scarborough Report. I told you yesterday there are cracks in the armor, and they're not going to be able to hold back the flood. And you're going to see some of them, just out of public decency, are going to have to begin to speak some truth. And that's what we're going to see here. Are you able to find it there, Jared? I don't know. Maybe it won't come up on your Facebook page. It's Joe Scarborough, and that's not it. Oh, man. I'm sorry. It's right at the top, I think. I had to give Jared a scroll down minute, man. I'm sorry, Jared. I thought it popped right up on mine because it's worth seeing. Bear with us a second, guys, while we look for it. Nope. There we go, Jared. You the man. Okay, this is the more. But I don't know if you know this. Yesterday, evidence came out that shows. Let me paint this picture for you. WikiLeaks released yesterday communication between Doug Band, I think is his name, the guy who ran the Clinton Foundation, and a communication to the Clinton to Hillary's campaign, etc. Chelsea got mad at this guy. I think it's Band. It could be the wrong name. Chelsea got mad at him. So this guy, to protect himself, fires back an 11-page, oh, yeah? Well, here's what I've done, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this. It's 11 pages of illegal stuff that Bill Clinton has received. Millions of dollars, perks, stuff that he's not supposed to be involved with. And this guy says, see what I did for him? See what I did for him? And now MSNBC, to save any credibility, watch what they say here. There's cracks in the wall. Go ahead, Jared.
fresh scrutiny over extremely blurred lines between the organization and the family's multi-million dollar fortune. The revelation stems from the latest release of emails by WikiLeaks, allegedly hacked from the personal account of Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, John Podesta. A purported 2011 memo from longtime aide to former President Bill Clinton, Doug Band, lays out extensive fundraising efforts by him and his company, Teneo, on behalf of the Clinton Foundation and the Clintons personally. The Washington Post reports that Band, quote, detailed the circle of enrichment in which he raised money for the Clinton Foundation from top-tier corporations such as Dow Chemical and Coca-Cola that were clients of his firm, while pressing many of those same donors to provide personal income to the former president. The memo, which came during Hillary Clinton's time as Secretary of State, goes on to discuss how that works for the foundation, how that work for the foundation could be used to extract large speaking fees and other paid work for the former president, even referring to the operation as Bill Clinton Incorporated. The Post adds that the contracts for the Clintons would pay out $66 million over 9 years.
Yes, to the Clintons.
If the deals remained in place. Eddie's shaking his head, so I'm wondering if there are new words coming from him. Like, damn. Part of the memo allegedly reads, independent of our fundraising and decision-making activities, on behalf of the foundation, we have dedicated ourselves to helping the president secure and engage in for-profit activities, including speeches, books, and advisory service engagements. In support of the president's for-profit activity, we also have solicited and obtained, as appropriate, in-kind services for the president and his family for personal travel, hospitality, vacation, and the like.
Nicole, what do you think? How bad is this?
Well, it's not good. And I think it is.
Is that what they would say, like, if the Bushes did this?
Listen, the Bushes would never do this.
I know they wouldn't.
I think it's so interesting, the point Willie made, that this came about because Chelsea Clinton started asking questions. And one of the other revelations, I think, that came out before this story did was that she'd been called a spoiled brat. She doesn't sound very bratty to me. She sounds pretty insightful.
Mm-hmm. Band's memo was sent as part of a review.
Hold on. So Willie, how this basically confirms everything that Ron Fournier has been saying for a year now. Follow the money. Source inside the Clinton camp. Oh, there it is. Follow the money, my Clinton source said in 2015. Follow the money. And it's trading in public service for hundreds of millions of dollars personally.
And again, just like the emails.
And by the way, and using, forget the State Department, maybe they're using the State Department, but using relief work in Haiti. Right. Hey, can you help those suffering in Haiti? It's really important. Thanks. Listen, could you also give Bill Clinton $500,000 to give a speech in your corporate luxury box?
The emails also show, just like the ones we talked about yesterday, that the people around her are well aware of the problem.
Right.
I mean, Huma Abedin has talking about this, you know, the King of Morocco gives $12 million, right, to the Clinton Foundation, so Hillary goes to Morocco. And Huma writes in one of these emails about Hillary. She created this mess and she knows it. Everybody, the people the closest to Hillary Clinton know, and Hillary Clinton must know on some level, that all these things will not look good when you go into a presidential campaign. At best, they're unethical. And now, again, what the question's always been is, has it led to policy change? Was something done differently by Secretary Clinton as Secretary of State as a result of donations made to her and the foundation and Bill Clinton? That line hasn't been drawn directly yet. Again, I think if you find that line in the next 10 days, you've got a massive story in the election. This is big on its own.
Yeah.
But if you find a policy
in a kind of a morally deficit kind of way or sleazy way, it's
gross. It's gross.
Is this sleazy?
My
is this
father
gross?
Would find that, like, he just does not get how this has constantly happened in sort of the Clinton empire. And even from, you know, the connections to Wall Street, the foundation, these thin lines, that it's perplexing to him that this seems to be acceptable.
This is Hillary's home team. Do you understand that? This is Hillary's home team. We are living in a freaking banana republic. This is something that would go on in Venezuela. This is something that would go on in one of those African nations. This is something that would go, this is the United States of America. And this stuff is going on, and this woman is on the brink of being president of the United States. We are a banana republic. And we don't understand it. And the churches don't understand it. And the never Trumpers cannot see the bigger picture that this is nothing but corruption at the highest levels of government. And never Trumpers still will not. Won't vote against it. Won't vote against the too righteous to vote against it. Somebody help me out here. Help me out, Sarge. Somebody help me out. Help me out, Steve. Somebody bail me out.
When the ship is sinking, you go to the lifeboats. That's what mainstream media is looking to do because they got to have a job after this election.
It's sinking too, isn't it, buddy? Huh? Isn't it sinking? And we know this. We know this. Larry Nichols on JR's show last week said, "You guys better realize this is the Clinton way. This is exactly what they did in Arkansas. It's exactly what they did in Arkansas. And all they've done is they've just stepped up to the big leagues and are doing the same daggone thing in the big leagues. And if we let these people get away with this, guys, who can do something about this? Who can do something about this? Who can? Comey, he's up to his ears in it. Loretta Lynch is up to her ears in it. They bought off the Supreme Court. The Congress won't do anything. Senators won't speak up. There ought to be somebody right now standing up in the well of the Senate screaming tyranny, screaming traitors. What has happened to us? Am I exaggerating, Sarah?
Steve wants to say something.
Morning, Steve.
Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good.
Good. Excellent. Listen, the way I see this, the evidence is on the table. All right. And whether you're a Jew, a Christian, a monkey worshiping rat eating heathen, no matter what you are, with all this evidence on the table, you don't vote for Trump. Somebody doesn't vote for Trump, okay? You're either under some kind of bad, bad delusion or you're a mental case.
Amen, buddy.
And a third-party vote is a cop-out. We need to get this man in and get this monkey-worshipping, rat-eating heathen out of office.
Amen, Steve. I wish I could have said that myself, see? Hey, guys. If we let them get away with this, the sky is the limit to what they will do. We know from, get Larry Nichols on, we know that literally, allegedly, hundreds of people the Clintons have killed. We know that, allegedly, hundreds of them.
Then we can't let them stay in. We can't do it.
We can't. And, you know, I hate to tell you this, Steve, we have to consider what are we going to do if they cheat and get them in. We better start thinking that way as well.
Coach, exactly. That's what I said to you yesterday. It's Trump has got the vote. He's got enough votes. He's in. But whether they decide to put him in or not is another ball game. So if the other nut gets in, now what do we do?
Amen, Steve. Amen.
Prayer go out of school. We let abortion through. We let 1,000 other things go through. Now what are we going to do?
Amen, so brother.
Trump doesn't get in. Now what are we going to do?
Amen. Amen, Steve. I'm with you. Larry?
Yeah, I just posted the URL over in the comments of a video that I did this morning, and it speaks exactly what you guys have been talking about. We're at a juncture in history. We are at a crossroads in our nation.
We are.
God has provided a door of opportunity to start turning this ship around. And guess what? That little 8-minute video will help folks find something they can do between now and the election to help turn this ship around.
Amen, Larry. Okay, we'll get that, share that with everybody. I want to do so. I want to get another one up here before we get out of here today. Let's go, Jared. Click on the one on Judge Roy Moore. See, we've kind of forgotten all about him, haven't we? We see our heroes get trampled. We say, oh, too bad. Doggone. He sure fought a good fight. Isn't that awful? Well, yesterday, Judge Roy Moore has a hearing where they're got a kangaroo court going on. I love it. He gets up and walks out. You guys see this? He gets up and walks out. This is about 3 minutes. Watch this.
The court has not ruled on to continue this proceeding. Based upon the fact that the pool was selected by justices that should have disqualified, that rule, that motion has not been ruled upon. We have a motion pending to continue this procedure because the methodology that was set by justices that should have recused in the sealed case. This court has refused to address that motion. You said there's not a court. There's a court right here, Your Honor.
Can't address it. You may be seated.
Well, we'll leave, Your Honor.
Rigged system.
And Chief Justice Moore will address the media outside.
To see you, man. I'm out of here. Love it! Kangaroo court!
What kind of toll is this taking you and your family?
Well, when you're suspended from offices, you know, you can't get another job. So basically, I've been suspended for nearly 2.5 years and can't get another job. I'm still Chief Justice, even though my name's been removed from the letterhead. But, you know, it's rather difficult on my family.
I'd say
what they've done is worse than removal, and they didn't have the votes for it. They'd have to have a unanimous court to remove him. Not only did they effectively remove him, but they did something far worse than that, which is take away his ability to provide for his family for the next 2.5 years. And they know what they did. That's what's sad about it.
So when this is all said and done, I mean, of course, they're still picking those names upstairs. The appeal process, as far as I know, will go forward. Really, where does this leave the status of your appeal moving forward?
Well, of course, when they pick the names, we'll look at the names and we'll go forward from there. We'll make no decisions till I see what they've done up there. I think it's very important to understand that this is going to affect active sitting judges and justices from now on. To have the court of the judiciary say that we can't remove you because we didn't have the votes, but we can suspend you for 2.5 years nearly. That's completely improper. It's a de facto removal. It has to be reversed. It has to be reversed for the sake of the judges and justices in our state, or we're going to warp the law and let them just skip over a unanimous vote for removal and say they can remove you for the rest of your term. This is the longest suspension ever handed down by the Court of the Judiciary, and it's for a legal order which they can't contradict on its face. So they have to make up how they feel about the order, not about what I did, not about the legal effect of the order, but how they feel I did on the order. For example, they say I told probate judges to disobey federal courts. I would never tell anybody to disobey an order of a court. That's not my job. My job is to issue orders of the court, not to tell people to disobey orders. What I told them that was that the injunction in effect remained valid until it was reversed by the Alabama Supreme Court, when in fact it has not been reversed to this day, and that injunction is still in effect. Now, they can argue with me, or they can argue with the law, but that's the law in the case. That's the law of the United States Supreme Court. An injunction, once placed by court, is in effect until reversed by that court, the court of first instance, or a higher court, which would be the United States Supreme Court. It still remains in effect.
So what do we see here? What do we see here? We see the law being put aside for opinion. Opinion. The courts offer opinions, and opinions trump law. And so here we see a righteous man standing and upholding the law. And what do they say? Well, we don't like the law. Here's our opinion, and opinion becomes the law. That's America. That is a microcosm of America. And so the battle that is before us, it's bigger than Trump. And JR, I love your slogan, make the church great again. Here's what's before us. No matter who gets elected, there's hell. We got hell to pay ahead of us, boys. We got hell to pay. Question we want to ask is, do we want to wade through Hillary or wade through Trump? Which do we want when it comes down to it and we have to fight? Do we want to have to fight that Clinton monster, that Clinton machine, that corrupt Clinton machine? Or do we want to fight Trump and his cabal, whatever that might be? Whatever that might be. And we see already the impact of the Clintons. They have corrupted everything. They've corrupted the Supreme Court. They've corrupted the justice system. They've corrupted the school system. They've corrupted the church. They've corrupted everything. They are corruptors. That's all they are. Every foundational, what am I looking for? Every organization, law for every foundation of America has been destroyed by these wicked people and their influence. And the battle is not going to go away on November the 8th. The battle is just beginning. So we in the church, we got to make this decision. Which team do I want to fight against? I'm going to tell you this. I want to fight against Team Trump. I don't even know if they're our enemy yet, but I can tell you this. I sure as hell don't want to give that wicked woman and her cabal and her criminal enterprise any more influence. Somebody tell me where I'm wrong.
I don't think you're wrong, Coach. I think there's something to be said about making decisions based on feelings rather than truth and on just emotions rather than strong word and logic. Proverbs 14:12 has something to say about that too. Says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's even stronger than we would think. And we're dying out there, Coach.
We are dying
out there because we're following our feelings, because that's what we were taught, because we were taught by the wrong people.
We were, yes. Stephen, and I just popped into my head. Somebody else get read in here. It's in Revelation. I don't know where it is. Truth has fallen in the street and it cannot get up. Maybe that's in Isaiah. Maybe it's not in Revelation. Truth has fallen in the streets. Truth has fallen in the streets. Truth doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Truth has fallen and it cannot get up. It's in the church. Truth has fallen in the church. It's fallen. It can't get up. And we have to look at it here and say, how can we best help it resurrect? Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, the disconnect between what the law says and what some people say it means is not limited to the huge cases like Judge Roy Moore's stuff. It's down in our lowest courts. Yesterday, in my case, the county saying I can't have chickens, they came in and the prosecutor is, I never seen her before, but she knew me the minute she walked in the courtroom, and she came walking over and said, well, what can we do to make this go away, Larry? How can't you just get rid of your chickens and realize you're wrong? And I showed her the law that they handed to me when they gave me the ticket. I says, there's nothing about I can't have chickens in here. She says, that's not the right ruling. That's not the right ordinance. And she pulled another one out. I says, well, why didn't they give me the right one when they gave me a ticket? Anyway, so I read this other one there standing there. She's talking to me. And it says right in the one she handed me that the way my property is zoned, it says permitted things. And one of the permitted things is poultry.
Wow.
And I says last time I looked it up, poultry was chickens. I says, you know what? I says, your law that you're saying I'm violating says I can have my chickens. And she says, well, that's what it says, but it's not what it means.
There you are, brother. There you are. Doesn't mean poultry, huh? JR, let me say this before I forget. My brain's going 1,000 miles an hour that I'm going to come to you. See, here's a strategy. You want a strategy? Let's throw Hillary out. And immediately begin today to work to get Judge Roy Moore as president of the United States 4 years from now. That would be a strategy. See, that would be a strategy. But we're not going to do that. We're not going to let Trump be elected. And then we're going to wake up 3.5 years again. And we're going to be right back in the same mess trying to work with an ungodly candidate. Go ahead, JR.
Larry is Exhibit A. When we show up, we win. We showed up in Pensacola, we won. We showed up in Indiana, we won. When we show up, we win. But we've been losing because we haven't shown up.
Yeah. Why? Because, can I tell you why? Because
we don't love our neighbor.
We see our neighbor in distress, and we don't love our neighbor. We don't go stand with him and try to. What if it was you? What if you lost your job for 2.5 years? Now, wait a minute. You still had the job. What if I was football coach and we lose a game and the school board says, yeah, you're still our coach. But all the fans say, yeah, but we're not going to let him pay. We're not going to pay him. We're going to make him hold the position, but we're not going to pay him for 2.5 years and he can't go get another job. What if that was you? And see, we don't see it. The church doesn't.